Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at The Gaslight, the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard, right over there on the hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Come over there, check it out, man. It's just a cool hangout over there. It's a really beautiful facility they have. If you haven't been by, it's a top-notch recording studio attached to a great bar. So if you have a band or you are a solo artist, you can come in to the studio and you can cut some live tracks in front of an audience. The audience is on the other side of the glass in the bar setting. And so even if you're a fan, you can come in and watch one of your favorite bands and then have a cold adult beverage there and hang out. It's just a real neat place. So get involved, check them out. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find everything else at GaslightSTL.com and full listing of events coming up there. So always got a lot of really cool people coming through, national acts as well as all your favorite locals. So get involved and check that out. So also sponsoring this episode is Music Record Shop. They're back, just moved over to a new location on Washington Ave over by right next door to KDHX. So go check them out down there on Washington Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, live in stores, and next one is October 29th. You can come in and see Lucas Jack live in store at Music Record Shop. I follow them online, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Mario from Skyburn White, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah, but trust me.
recall everything you did to try and burn me.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with my friend, Mario Spina, Skyburnt White.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show, man. Welcome back.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
This is number three?
Number three.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But this time, it's all me.
Yeah, so
it's all centered around.
Yeah, we don't have anybody else.
Nope.
To distract anybody.
Right.
It's all Mario. It's a Mario show today. But yeah, man, I'm thrilled that we worked this out. That we're hanging out here in Washington, Missouri. We're sitting here. We had a nice little picnic lunch in the pavilion here.
Yeah.
Beautiful day.
Had a little Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Yep. And
breakfast of champions, man.
Just two guys enjoying lunch at the park.
Sure. Yeah. You know, totally normal.
Completely normal.
Yep.
Nothing weird or, you know.
But Mario and Skyburton White have a big show coming up Saturday night.
Yes, sir.
That's why we're here. We'll talk about that and everything else. But Saturday night, come on over to the Firebird. See Skyburton White, New Lingo, Conquer As They Come, Discrepancies, Apollo's Daughter, and Odom.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a stacked lineup, man.
Yeah.
I'm just honored that, you know, we're even on it. You know what
right,
I mean? Like, it's
sure.
just, it's such a cool, plus, like, I absolutely, I mean, all those guys are our friends, so, you know, that's kind of why we called it the Homies Bash, because it literally is just all of our closest friends, you know, some of our closest friends in the music, and, you know, in the music scene in St. Louis.
Definitely.
So,
yeah.
It's pretty badass.
For sure, man. Now, and that's the thing, like, I was, you know, just looking at that bill, like, I mean, literally, like you're saying, those are all my friends, too. Like,
yeah.
It's just so cool to be a part of that, and, like, regardless if anything else, it's just going to be fun to hang out with all of them.
Absolutely. Know, so. Absolutely.
But they all happen to be very good at what they do also.
Yeah, right? Right. It's like not only is it your best friends and some of the best bands in the area, but it's like some of the best musicians too.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. $8 gets you in the door, and all the bands have tickets. So if you happen to know one better than the other or whatever it is, reach out and grab some tickets from a band.
But, yeah, come get you some.
Yeah, it's going to be hell of a party.
And be sure to dress up,
yeah,
too, because it's definitely, you know, costumes are definitely welcome. We're going to have a, you know, Halloween, you know, the costume contest, that whole jazz.
Sure.
And I think some weird, what's the guy's name that's hosting the thing?
I don't know. Never heard of him.
Shane Plesley?
Yeah.
Plesley. Yeah, I think it's with a Plesley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Whoever that guy is.
Right.
But he's No, I'm thrilled, man. Like, Gabe asked me if I wanted to be a part of it, and I was honored to be a part of it. And I'm excited to get out there and to hopefully not to drag the show down too much, but get out there and try to do my part.
We have a few surprises in store too, so it's going to be fun.
Sure, yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises for the night. I think there's going to be some very cool things that you want to witness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, just going to be a good time. $8, Saturday night, Firebird, St. Louis, Missouri. Come on over and
get your asses there.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I was thinking, we were kind of talking here off mic a bit and about how I was listening back to our first appearance, our first episode together,
mm-hmm.
which was like probably my first one by myself,
yeah.
which I was listening back to it on the way over, and it just, you know, it was pretty rough for me to listen to just because, like, I feel I've gotten a little bit better.
So, yeah.
But yeah, you do any of these, anything 300 times or whatever, you're going to get better at.
Right, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, listening to that, like, that was just fun to kind of go back and listen to our first, like, real meeting, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I saw you guys, I guess we really kind of got started talking at Inkspot that year, like, 3 years ago.
Right.
And but it's just kind of cool for me, and it's been happening a lot, and it's just a lot of fun to be a part of it. But, like, I'm you know, it's just, like, how crazy that we've become great friends already, you know, in these 3 years and
right.
things like that. And, like, I'll just kind of go back to where it all started, and, like, it's just weird how we didn't know each other then, but now all these guys are, like, some of my best friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like, and like you were saying, you know, the first one, I think I had only been with the band at the time for less than a year or right around a year or so.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, we were all,
sure,
as far as, you know, what you do and what we're doing, we were all very young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
As far as, you know, band wise and show wise, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
So it is neat, like you said, to kind of look back and see where we've come and,
yeah,
you know, how far we've gone or where we're going.
Sure.
You know. So.
Yeah, you guys, at the time, I think you guys were expecting, but now you are a father of a 2-year-old.
Yeah, he just turned 2 on October 20th.
Yeah.
So.
And then Gabe's now a father, so
yep.
a lot's changed since that day.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, my, how we've grown.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the, how's that change you, besides obviously not having any more free time and stuff?
Right. I mean, it's so hard to explain because, I mean, you kind of change. It's like, as he changes, you change. You know what I mean? So it's like, when he's a baby, it's like you're kind of going through it together. I mean, he relies on you, and you're so clueless. You know what I mean? Like as a father, me, I was, you know, I had to rely on Shauna to, like, you know, she knew the signs because, I mean, there's that mother-son connection.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I kind of had to grow into, you know, being, I guess, like, I don't want to sit like this, but I guess I kind of grew into being the responsible father role, whereas the mother, she just was like, bow, just
right.
doing it, you know what I mean, just doing things, and just, I was just taking direction, and now it's like, you know, I got a little man running around, you know what I mean,
yeah.
It's like my little pal,
sure.
you know, so, and it's amazing, you know, the other day, it's like, 90% of what comes out of his mouth is gibberish.
Right.
And then Shauna leaves the room. My wife's name is Shauna. Shauna leaves the room, and, you know, now it's like, where'd mom go? It's like clear as day. You know, it's like, what the hell? Like, how, you know? And it's just, it's the coolest thing ever, dude, being a dad. It really is. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'd have 5,000 more if it wasn't going to break me. And, you know, right. you know, like, so. But,
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I'm not there. I don't have any children myself, but it's just like, I imagine that's got to be the coolest thing. I don't know, just
mm-hmm.
To have a part of you now.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a human being and stuff. It's crazy to think about, man. I was like, I was actually at a comedy show last night on, and I was talking to these comedians were telling the stories and things, and Ryan Sickler was telling a story about you know, that whole thing about, like, something, you know, and having something about having sex, and then, like, how, like, women think about, like, having a person inside of them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just, like, it's really weird to think about, like, the fact that that's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
That, but yeah, it's obviously, I don't know.
It's the coolest thing I've ever done, by far, you know? It really is.
Oh, gosh, excuse me. I'm still trying to kick this shit, man. I've been coughing for, like, a week. I feel like that Step Brothers, I've been sick for a month and a half. Anyway, I just think that's cool that you guys, you and Gabe are kind of going through it together now, mm-hmm. both new dads and everything, and but still keeping the band a priority as well, and you know, making it all work. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of them, they have to make that choice of whether one or the other, and like so, it's obviously it's really cool to see you guys are still going full steam ahead with the music and making it all work and stuff, and then obviously it had a big part to do with ladies in your lives as well.
Oh, like, yeah. We wouldn't be able to do it with, you know, without that support.
Right.
So, seriously.
Yep. So, big shout out to Shauna and Freya.
Oh, yeah.
For all their support.
And Kimmy with Dave. And
yeah.
Jake's flying solo.
Yeah.
He is the Creed, so.
Right. But, yeah, man. So, I wanted to kind of go also back, like, I mean, I know a little bit some of the backstory, but I wanted to kind of get you talking more about you since previously we've had Gabe, or on the second episode we had Jake and Dave, so we didn't really get to talk a lot about what inspired you to kind of get to where you are today and things. But
right.
I do know that your father played, does play still,
yeah.
So is that a lot of where you get started with guitar? Or
oh, absolutely, yeah. Man. You know. As young as I can remember, it was always like, my dad was like the classic rock blues side of music, and my mom was always like Motown and, you know, anything like that 50s, 60s, like older, you know, music like that. So it was like, I was always just surrounded by just incredible talent, you know what I mean? Like, just listening to it. And then the older I got, the more I realized, you know, that my dad plays, and it's not just like a cool thing to see my dad playing the guitar, like it's he's actually plays and he's actually really good. And I just became fascinated by that. And I think, you know, at an early age, the passion that he had for it was just kind of contagious, you know. I just kind of caught it. And the first thing I did was picked up the drums whenever I was in sixth grade. And I absolutely fucking hated it. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, I was so ADD as a little kid that, like, all I wanted to do was play a drum set. And anybody that's taken drum lessons knows you first start on a snare drum and you learn your rudiments and your patterns and all that stuff. And I just had no patience for that shit. I was like, I didn't sign up to play a drum. Right. You know, I signed up to play a freaking drum set. Where is this? So that went by the wayside. And it kind of took, like, a year or so for me to realized that I was actually serious about guitar, that I really wanted to do it, and I picked it up, and it just really kind of came natural. And, you know, having my dad, I'm left-handed, but I picked up the guitar right-handed. My dad is left-handed and plays left-handed. Well, if you're a left-handed person standing in front of a right-handed person, it looks like you're looking in the mirror as far as what they're doing. So where his hands were on the neck of the guitar was where my hands were.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of looking at his hands, and I could hear if something was the wrong note, and I would just move my hands until it sounded right. And mm-hmm. next thing I know, I'm, you know, spending 6 hours a night in front of, you know, listening to the point on my stereo in my room with my little practice amp right next to me, recording music that I wanted to learn. And then I'd go back and listen to the tape and learn the songs. And it just kind of flew from there.
Right.
You know?
That's crazy. So. Yeah. So you, a lot of it you just learned by ear?
Yeah. I did. Maybe like 2 or 3 months of lessons, and it was all stuff that, like, watching my dad and just having a natural knack for it, I just kind of picked up on my own. So I just went to my dad and I was like, we're kind of wasting our money doing with these lessons when all I need to do is just have you hang out with me for 10 minutes and right. I can just kind of go from there, you know. And if I have any questions, I'll just knock, 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 you know what I mean?
Sure.
Rather than here's $30 for you to teach me something that I've already figured out.
Right.
So.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think that's crazy because, like, there's some obviously people being around music all the time. People always asking me, like, do I play or, you know, interested in it or whatever. Like, I don't know. I feel like that, like you're saying, you're describing that, like, you just kind of naturally picked up the guitar and, mm-hmm. and played and kind of thing. Like, I mean, obviously some people have to work a lot harder at it, but it's like I just never had that. in me to say, hey, grab a guitar and play, or whatever it is, so it's just like, I don't know, obviously it's not for me. I'm sure if I applied myself, you know, if I took the time to learn and, mm-hmm. and maybe did lessons or whatever it is, I could play something, but I just, like I said, there I would think by now something would have clicked to said, hey, give this a try or whatever it is. So
yeah. Well, and don't get me wrong, the girl factor definitely played a big part of it too whenever I was younger, you know what I mean? It's like, we were raised in the 80s. I mean, we were still remember when there was music videos constantly on television, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm sitting here watching anywhere from Guns N' Roses to Nirvana and, like, all these different MTVs Unplugged and all this stuff, and I was just fascinated by, like, how these guys were just doing what they loved, and people loved them for that, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, you got like a whole 80s hair metal shit where they're prettier than the girls that they're, like, you know, banging, you know what I mean? And, like, but, like, that fascinated me, too, because I was just like, you know, all I got to do is just play a few chords on the guitar, and, like, they just come flocking, you know, which is not true, you know what I mean? Right. It's so glorified on TV, but anyways, like, that whole rock star persona, like, I just was obsessed with becoming a rock star whenever I was a little kid.
Sure.
You know, I mean, granted, I did play sports and stuff, but none of it had the effect on me like music, you know what I mean? So it was like, there was definitely that factor as well.
Right.
So.
So you're playing some guitar, and what's the first band you guys put together?
The first band that I was ever in was with my friend Dustin Kelly and Peter Wallers, and we were a three-piece. And I remember I had just moved to Lemberg after my parents got divorced, and a friend of mine who we had a class with knew that I played guitar and was friends with Dustin Kelly, who was the drummer, and just got in contact with him and said, hey, I know these two guys that are looking for a guitar player and a singer. Like, you know, have you ever sang before? And I was like, no, but how hard can that be? You know? and so I went and jammed with those guys, and, you know, all I knew were, like, Silverchair covers and, you know, just, like, anything I knew was just covers. I had not even tried to start writing my own music yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So I played with those guys for a while, and all we did was just play, like, parties and, you know, like, high school parties and stuff like that. And I think I was a sophomore at the time, and they were either freshmen or in eighth grade, or I can't remember. But I just remember whenever I went to that first practice, just quick story, I just remember listening to Dustin Kelly play the drums. And Dustin, if you're listening to this is a true story. And it was like, dude, how good that kid was for being in eighth grade, I mean, blew my fucking mind. Like, it was like somebody who had been, I mean, it's like listening to a seasoned drummer, you know what I mean? And this kid's in eighth, he was just one of those, like, almost savant-like, you know what I mean? Like, just one of those people that just picked it up and had a natural knack for it and just was incredible.
Sure.
You know? So, like, that, like, blew me away. And he went on to play in, I don't know if you remember, Ready the Cannons, a local band or not, but I think they're actually, they kind of went on hiatus for, like, 6 years, and they're getting ready to start playing shows again and, like, put out, like, a new EP or whatever, but either way, they're phenomenal. They were great.
Okay. Keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
What was that band name?
We didn't really even have a name. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like Dustin Mario's band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever, because, like, we both went to Lemberg, and that's how we would play these shows, just because of, you know, people that we knew, or, you know, birthday parties that were coming up, and they knew that we were in a band or whatever, right. So.
Yeah. Where does it go after that? Like,
after that, I ended up, I want to say, through Dustin, we had kind of stopped playing music together, and I was just not really doing much. I was just playing guitar at home and, you know, whatever. And we had a mutual friend named Brian Jenkins who was jamming in this band called The Next Level, and it was a rap rock band, Christian rap rock. And I was into POD and Project 86 and all that stuff at the time, and I had, you know, gone to youth group stuff, and I was raised Catholic, but I never really had, you know, there was not that connection for me. Anyways, that's completely a whole nother show. Yeah. But so one day Brian Jenkins, Phil Sneed, and Eric Brand came to my house, and they were like, hey, we heard that you play guitar, and, you know, and they're like, yeah, and they're like, what are some of your bands that you're listening to right now? And I was like, well, POD, Brown, their first album, Brown, was like, I mean, I just beat that album to death, you know? And that was, like, right before, that was, like, 2 years before Fun Elements of, like, Southtown came out, and, you know what I mean? Like, right around that era. Anyways, And they told me what they were doing, and they told me that they wanted to have get another guitar player because Battle for the Bands was coming up at Lindbergh, and that was always like a big event at that school. And so I just kind of went and jammed with them, and so it was kind of weird, you know, because like at that time I made friends with Phil Snead, or AKA Moon Maljan, and John Inglesby, and I just remember riding around with those guys all the time, and we just, you know, we stood in line at the CD warehouse for the midnight release of what was Limp Bizkit's second album? Oh my gosh, the one with like Nookie and all that stuff. I don't remember what it was called. Yeah. Obviously, it doesn't matter in my mind. But
where's Fat Beats when you need them?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Steve, help me.
Yeah.
But
call in if you're listening.
Right. but yeah. So I just remember riding around with those guys all the time, and that kind of started to fizzle out a little bit, and wasn't really something that I wanted to do. Yeah. And around that time was whenever they changed their name from Next Level to Sound Advice. And then people might know of Sound Advice because right before Sound Advice ended, that's whenever Sound Advice was Brian Jenkins left the band, I left the band, and they got a new lead singer, so Eric had left the band, and it was just John and Moon, a.k.a. Phil, Phil, a.k.a. Moon, and they got a new lead singer, and they got Mark Roth, who's also in Greek Fire, as the bass player, and then they booted that lead singer, then they became Maybe Today, and then everybody knows what happened after Maybe Today.
Right.
Maybe Today played with Story of the Year. Story of the Year needed a guitar player. Phil went into Story of the Year, and they had like 3 years of absolute hugeness. You know,
pretty good.
Yeah, they are pretty dang good.
Yeah, Significant Other was.
Yes, thank you. My gosh,
thank you, Google, for that help. It was the next one, Stone Dog, or where
after
that,
I had joined a band called Johnny Bad Note, and we were just like a shitty punk rock band, pop punk band in St. Louis, and then after that, I didn't do anything for probably about 2 years or so, and I had joined a band called Meanswell, which was Brian Jenkins from Next Level and Sound Advice, then we went on to. That band was cool because that was like right around the time where like I had just started like really writing my own music, you know what I mean, and like focusing on originals and stuff like that. So it just became one of those kind of fell in love with, you know what I mean. It was like, you know, the whole process of getting together with other musicians and writing and all that good stuff. It was just like I kind of fell in love with it, you know.
Yeah.
So. But
I guess I don't know
what's happening right now. We can edit this out. So joining Meanswell, it just kind of changed my whole perspective on music, and I just focused more on writing and all that stuff. And when that ended, I didn't really know where to go. Some of the band members had moved away, and I had gotten rid of some of my equipment and stuff like that, and I was just kind of starting back from square one, and didn't know if I wanted to keep playing, or if I just, is this really something that I want to keep doing, or, you know, I just never found like the right group of people.
Right.
And then fast forward, you know, a year later, 2 years later, and I meet Gabe, and it was through a mutual friend who I was going to church with, and at the time, and they needed a guitar player, and I went and just kind of jammed in James Dill and Gabe's apartment. It was above Ursula's dance studio here in Washington, and I just remember that first night, like, they had a song that was like a quarter of the way complete, and I went in there and, you know, just helped them finish it, and we finished the song like right then and there, and I just kind of knew, I was like, there's a connection here, there's something that's, you know what I mean, like, I've never been that like inspired to just be like, bam, here's the rest of your song,
right.
You know what I mean, like, and it's never happened to me really like that before. So, you know, I joined up with those guys, and it took them like 2 months to tell me that I was in the band. They just kept stringing me along, and we had played shows, and like everybody was like, oh yeah, Mario and Gabe's band, or Mario and James's band, and blah, blah, blah. And I still didn't even know if I was like actually in the band. Right. You know what I mean? Like they just kept dicking me around. And so finally one day at band practice, they took like 25 minutes outside, and I'm sure that they were just like, you know, just fucking around and laughing about how, like, you know, oh, he's like probably in there sweating and actually thinks we're talking about something. And they came back in and told me I was in the band. And, you know, after, once that fizzled out, then it was Stone Dog Diaries. And once Stone Dog Diaries figured out, fizzled out, it's Skyburn White.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, yeah. So you and Gabe have been playing together for
about 10 years.
Yeah.
Now.
A long time now.
Yeah.
That's it's cool, man. It's great to see the connection that you guys have. Even though he tells everybody he hates you all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're beyond the point of liking each other now. It's like an obligatory brotherhood between me and him, you know?
Yeah.
We just always call each other the brothers that we never wanted.
Right,
so.
Sure. No, I think it's really cool to see what you guys have created together. I actually, Gabe gave me some of that old Stone Dog stuff, and I was listening to that. Some really good stuff on there, too, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's fun to... Again, going back to all that, like, it's fun to be part of this with you guys, become friends, and watch you guys, you know, doing what you do, and mm-hmm. you know, watch you get up there on stage and get up there and play and have fun and
mm-hmm.
write all these great songs and stuff. And the album, so now you guys, the Skyburn White record came out, what, like last year?
Yeah, about a year ago
About a year ago now.
About a year ago now.
And that's, just a solid record, man. Very good.
It's crazy to think that, you know, like we did, I mean, it's like 13 damn songs on that thing. Right. You know what I mean? Like, holy cow.
And you guys got quite a bit of stuff. You guys did a re-release special edition mm-hmm. with a couple extra songs.
With like three, you know, previously unreleased songs, yeah. I guess.
So you guys got a lot of more material still mm-hmm. still coming out.
And yeah, and there's two or three that we've written with Dave since he's been in the band for the mm-hmm. last couple of years, and plus, like, there's, you know, countless riffs that we have that we jam with at practice that are in the works, and we just never have time to nail them down and actually finally complete the song, because most of the time we have something going on and we're practicing for a reason, you know what I mean? We're practicing a set for a show coming up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a while since we've actually had to gotten to have those practices where it's like, well, we don't have a show for a couple
sure.
months, and, you know, maybe now is the time to knock out a few new tunes.
Yeah.
So...
You were saying, talking about writing and things earlier and stuff, but I know, obviously a lot of Skyburn White is a lot of, Gabe's writing, lyrics wise and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but do you write lyrics and stuff too, or is it mostly just guitar riffs and things for you?
Until here, within the last couple of years, whenever Dave joined the band, before that, James Dill, our old bass player, who is the bass player in Stone Dog and in Adler, he always did most of the backup stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing that I can credit James to is that guy is phenomenal. He thinks on the backbeat of music. So when he hears music, he hears the bass. He hears the harmonies. He doesn't hear the main focal point of the music, which I think is just unbelievable. You know what I mean? To have that frame of mind, because what I hear is like the loud-ass guitar riff that's pounding you in the face. You know what I mean? And I don't hear... It takes me two or three times listening to a song to... really even understand what the person is saying, and then finally like get to know the words. Most of the time I'm just like headbanging to the riff, and you know what I mean, like, you know, trying to analyze that.
Sure.
And so for him to think on the outside of everything, you know what I mean, behind everything, I just think is just phenomenal to have that frame of mind, you know.
Yeah.
So until he left the band, I mean, he was always the one. He's got a phenomenal voice, so for harmonies especially, so it's like I just, you know, just take the reins, buddy. It's you. You know what I mean? That's what you do. And he's great at it, so there's no need for me to do it. Well, when he left, Dave doesn't sing.
All right.
We all saw that from the Winona Big Brown Beaver video. I love you, Dave. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, Dave doesn't really sing, and Jake doesn't. I mean, Jake's got a good voice, but he, you know, he does so much back there that I don't know if he really even has the time or, you know, wants to even try to put his mind around
sure.
something else, you know? So I just kind of got forced into the position. It was like, hey, you can kind of sing, sort of. So do it, you know. And now I've been doing it for 2 years, and it's weird to think that I'm somewhat comfortable,
yeah.
you know. So.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I think it was cool to see also with you guys, like, with, you know, going all these things we're talking about. Like, you guys were also being able, I was out, invited you guys out to the first anniversary party, and then mm-hmm. you also played the second anniversary party.
Yeah.
But it's just been cool to throw these parties, and then we're throwing another one Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, again, to be watch you guys come out there and play and keep getting better and stuff, and it just, those parties went pretty well, man. I had a really good time with that second one
with Brother Lee?
Yeah, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and Matthias and the Pirates.
Yep.
And then you guys played Pops that earlier, and then that was the new Lingo release.
Yep. And we drove over there to close down the night over at Broadway Oyster. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was
I almost passed out. Thank God for where I was standing on the stage of Broadway, there was like a pillar right behind me or something, you know. And there was a couple of times where like I fell back into it, and if that wasn't there, I probably would have fell to the ground.
Right.
I was just like, I had been up since 4:30. You know, worked my ass off that day, and it was summertime, so it was hot, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just dehydrated and exhausted. But I think the second, I mean, I thought that we played great at both of those
sure.
sets. And normally, you know, it's always, like, I've never done double duty before, so, you know, I was expecting one to go better than the other, and I thought that we killed it at both.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, that's a full day, man.
It was fun.
Two sets loaded up and break down and everything else you guys do, and... but yeah, that was a hell of a party, man. I mean, it was really cool to have that opportunity,
mm-hmm.
even to throw a party at Broadway Oyster Bar on a Friday night. But I'm hoping to do many more of those.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you guys again for those. That was really cool.
Have to thank me for shit.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind.
Just happy to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. But yeah, so Saturday also I wanted to also bring up this you guys will be filming a music video, right?
Yeah, and
a live music video
thanks to Visionary Media. Those guys do unbelievable work. I mean, you can see it with Isabella, and I believe that they do stuff for Discrepancies.
No, Discrepancies used another guy.
That's right. Well, either way, that one was great too.
Freddie
got fingered. Freddie Fingers.
Freddie D'Angelo or something like
that. Either way.
But yeah, no, they do great work there. They've shot a bunch of videos for Fivefold. And
I know they did Point Fest.
Yeah.
They did all the behind-the-scenes interviews at Point Fest and stuff, and covered that this year.
They do a lot of Road to Point Fest stuff down mm-hmm. there. So, but yeah.
Yeah, those guys are really good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to see that, man, because we did shoot another video, and I guess it didn't turn out the way we wanted on my big acting debut.
Well, you know, that's it's a little bit of a sore subject with the band
sure.
and us, with the band. We're just, you know, I think mostly because we just kind of felt a little foolish with promoting this thing and, you know, trying to get it out there and having, you know, like we went on the point and, you know, hey, we have this live video shoot for Smoke, and, you know, and we spent that day the location filming, and it was just like one of those things that, you know, we built it up so much, and then it just never really we were never really happy with the final product.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're, you know, like okay or anything like that. It was just like we never really got like what we
sure.
wanted, you know.
Yeah,
and so it's just kind of one of those things that's like you just chuck it up as a loss and you move on as a band, and you know, now we know what not to do and what to do.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Yeah, a learning experience, man.
For sure, so. For sure. And we, you know, in all of, any of the bands that I had been in, I've never done anything like what Stone Dog or what Skyburn White has been doing. As far as, you know, I mean, we never had the level of, you know, like the love that we get from like the Inkspot people from any of those other bands. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I don't know if it was just like young and irresponsible, or if it was just kind of like, we just didn't have that opportunity at that moment, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So, and plus, you know, with Skyburn White, we also got to, you know, be interviewed on The Point, and that's like a fucking dream come true for me, you know what I mean? It's like, that was just the coolest experience ever.
Yeah.
Nothing makes you feel more like a rock star than playing your song live on air, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was just unbelievable. I'll never forget it. So, thank you, Cornbread, for making that happen, by the way.
I was invited to be a part of Cornbread's Sunday Night Local show.
How'd that feel?
That made it unreal. No. Like, it was crazy.
Being the interviewee instead of interviewer.
It was I don't know. It's crazy to think that was a real thing. Like, but yeah, just I don't know. It's cool to be on the other side of the mic to get to talk about some of my things. But it was just crazy to think that I was even invited
right now. So. Yeah.
But I was very grateful for the opportunity, and hopefully many more cool things will keep happening for both of us. And
right. So going back to the Visionary Media thing, like, yeah, we're having those guys. I don't know exactly what song we're going to do with those guys yet.
Yeah.
We've kicked around a couple of ideas. Obviously, When I'm Done is always at the forefront, just because that's the one that, if people don't know us very well, but they listen to the local show, that's the one that they hear, either that or Afterglow. You know what I mean? So, I'd like to do either one of those. I mean, I really any one of our songs, just to get it out there, and something that people don't hear all the time would be nice. Maybe even one of the new ones too, that, you know, just to show people like, hey, like this is to come. You know what I mean? This is on a new EP that we're going to release soon, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So people can see the direction, but we'll see.
I think I threw out you guys had a post online for fans to participate in, which make a request for what song, and I threw out the idea for In What World?
Yeah. That would be a cool one too.
But I mean, that's a pretty good problem to have though, when you can't decide which song is going to be good enough for the video. You know, like you guys have a lot of really great songs, and
thank you.
So yeah, it's I'm excited to see what happens though. I'm also excited to be a part of it. So so yeah, if you want to come see live video taping, happen to be at one of the best show. I'm going to put it on record. It's probably going to be the best show of this year, because like that for me at least, because that's like, again,
the lineup is just
a crazy bill. I have a feeling you look at this poster in a year, probably maybe even less, you're going to look at this show one day in the future and you're going to be like, holy shit, those six bands were in the same room together, for $8 or whatever. It's just like everybody right now is just boiling under right now. I think things are getting ready to happen for everybody, and it's just really cool to see all this going on. And
it's incredible to see like the success that New Lingo has had. You know, I mean, the first time that we met those guys was a couple years ago at the Ink Spot, and I think they played first or second. You know, it was either, I know it was Apollo's Daughter and New Lingo. They were like the first two bands, and you know, you think about it now, and if those two bands were to play Ink Spot next year, you know what I mean, you're looking at like New Lingo probably like being one of the headlining bands of the night. You know what I mean? And same with Apollo's Daughter. I mean, they're definitely going to be like, you know, probably rather than being 11 o'clock, you're going to see them at 3 or 4, you know, which is just incredible, you know, like, and that's what I love about all, and you know, and then you look at Conquer As They Come. I mean, those guys, like all of these bands, you know, Discrepancies, their CD is like fucking phenomenal. I mean, that is just insane what they've done, you know? And, it's like all of these bands, it's like they're like arriving, you know what I mean? And I don't know, you know, you can put that in loose quotations as far as arriving, whatever the fuck that means.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like all of these bands, everybody are starting to do like these really, really super great things. And it's just awesome to be a part of it and be friends with them and watch them. And
yeah, man,
that's the coolest part about all of it, is just the fact that it's like, dude, these guys are my friends and they're kicking fucking ass.
Something for everybody on there though. You know, you got obviously Discrepancies a little more rap in there with ATG and stuff, and then you got Apollo's Daughter is a little more, you know, I don't know, I think there's a lot, little pop and R&B influence almost.
As much as I hate him, I love watching Corey play guitar.
Yeah,
both of those guys are just awesome guitar players, really.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's what I see, Shane, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, it's like, you know, Gable, you know, be like, listen to this line, or like, you know, like, I love, like, the vocal melody, you know, whatever, and it's like, dude, I don't hear that shit. Yeah. Like, I hear it, you know, and yeah, it's a part of the song, and it makes it that much, you know, more great. But, like, everything that catches me is, like, is the guitar.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm like that every night. Like, I can go, depends on the band and the music and the artists and everything, but, like, for the most part, I'm like, I side with Gabe, where I tend to notice lyrics.
Yeah.
It's just what tends to grab my attention. But I do, sometimes it is, more where I don't even notice the lyrics as much as I'm listening to it sonically as just the music and stuff itself. And
right.
So, but yeah, I do get your, you know, you're obviously a, that's what you're trained. You're, you know, that's all mm-hmm. it is to hear the guitar parts and things. Yep. So, but yeah, no, man, this is going to be fun though. So Saturday night, again, we've been talking about it. We come out Saturday night, Firebird. We've got Skyburn White, Discrepancies, Odom, Apollo's Daughter, New Lingo.
Conquer as they come.
And
I don't think we need to say any more after we just list those
shows.
Sure. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, if you happen to listen to this and you don't know them, please just go listen to
every one
check
of them
out. They're all worth your time. They've all, everybody's been on the show. So they're all six bands have been on this show. If you want to listen to some interviews with them and stuff, so. I was trying to think for a month, but I just had Conquer as They Come a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
So that was, now they've all been on the show.
It's a great episode, by the way.
Yeah, that was fun. So, we can close this out with a couple of songs or something, or.
Yeah.
You want to, what, do you have some requests from your Skyburn White record you want to play or something, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't It's one of my favorites, so.
Yeah.
I would love to. You know, if that's something that people haven't heard, that's like a different side of us than people might be used to hearing. So it's a little more in your face, a little bit, you know, like just if you like big choruses and loud guitars, listen to that song for
sure. Okay. Any, you got another one you want?
I would just say go ahead and throw in Smoke. I mean, that's just like one of my favorites. It's just like, I don't know if there's a better opening song to our set or anything like that. Which you'll have to find out on Saturday if we open with it or not.
Right.
But I think that song just kind of, in a nutshell, sums up the band. You
definitely,
know?
Man.
With the ambient guitars at the beginning, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the delay and like the big hits and just kind of ringing out to, you know, you get to the bridge where it's like a little bit faster, a little bit more in your face, a little bit, you know, louder and stuff like that. And I think it kind of encompasses everything that the band does really well. So.
Yeah. All right. Man, well, Mario, I appreciate you taking some time out.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. I want to take a shout out to my dad. So, if anybody out there likes the blues, listen to Michael Terry and the Bag Lunch Blues Band, or just the Bag Lunch Blues Band. They are phenomenal. Every one of these guys I've known since I was a little itty bitty kid, and they're part of the reason why I still play music. So, please check them out.
Yeah. All right. Well, check out Bag Lunch Blues Band.
Skyburnt White, OATM, Apollo's Daughter, New Lingo, Discrepancies, Conquer as They Come.
Yeah. Go do your homework, listen to all those bands, support local music, and we'll see you Saturday night at Firebird.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shane.
Thanks, Mario.
Thank you. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.